to a special Full Tilt Brewing episode of Brutal Battle. Yes, it's Carlin. I'm in a place unfamiliar to myself. I'm in the basement of another man's house, a man by the name of Nick Furtick. Did I say it right, last name?
That's right.
Furtick.
Yeah.
Just kind of like run them together. You know, Furtig or
yeah,
Furtick?
So it's funny, actually. It's random as shit. I learned to just say Furtick.
Uh-huh.
Easiest way to say it, back middle school. So one of my teachers called me at one point. It's one of my earliest memories, randomly. And she was like, you know, called me first day of the year or whatever. And I said, you know, it's Nick Furtick. I said Fertig or whatever, because that's like the German pronunciation of it. She was like, No, it's Fertig. Just call yourself Fertig. It's easier to say. And then just ever since then,
it stuck.
And it stuck. And then she was right, because saying Fertig, just it makes me, I don't know, it is just easier to go Fertig.
It's too hard for other people. Right. But you know what's not too hard for people?
What's that?
To remember the brand of your beer, which is Full Tilt Brewing.
I appreciate that.
So Full Tilt, people out there who aren't from the Baltimore area might not know too much about Full Tilt. Full Tilt is, your distribution is mainly just the Baltimore area, correct?
Well, yeah, so mainly. We focus on that. We market heavily towards that. And you know, I live in Baltimore, so it's easier to promote here a lot. We have distribution open to all of Maryland, Southern PA, randomly Erie PA, and that's a whole different story.
Huh, that is random.
Yeah, it's less random once I tell you why, but then D.C. and Northern Virginia. So, you know, a little bit, but again, Baltimore is our focus, so for sure. Yeah.
So, one of the things I noticed when I was coming here is a lot of your beers are based off of the streets around where you live.
Right, right.
You know, you have, like, your Camden Cream Ale, you have your, was it Fleet Street Raspberry Wheat.
You're in a basement on Fleet Street right now.
So yeah, that's where exactly. That came there from. There you go. Yeah. And then there's, what else do you have? You have Hop Harbor,
yep. Patterson Pumpkin, because Patterson Park's two blocks away.
There you go.
Hop Harbor, the Bay IPA, and that was the first one where we kind of started marketing a little, not necessarily outside of Baltimore, but trying to deal more with Maryland in general.
Yeah, because, well, I mean, even outside of Maryland, most people know the Inner Harbor, the Bay, you know.
Sure.
People know about that. You can go all the way down into Virginia, and people are like, the Bay, Delaware, the Bay, so getting a little more global in a sense there, but... One of the big things that has stood out to me from the get-go with this is the brand that you have.
Mm-hmm.
It is Full Tilt. First of all, how did you come to Full Tilt? All
right, so that was a name we acquired from a buddy. So what happened was we homebrewed for 5 years before we started going, you know, commercial with it. And the way we started, I'll try to make this the background story relatively short. We started just because we were bored and we liked better beers. You know, back in the day, we thought we were cool when we were drinking Sierra Nevada or like our Honey Brown or
who didn't back then?
Right, you know? Right. You know, at the time, that's what it was. It was cooler than everybody else was drinking a Natty Light. So, exactly. So, so we decided in 2008-ish, you know, September, that we were going to brew our first beer. So we got a $100 kit off eBay. Brewed a beer, and it was a red, it was, you know, a pre-made recipe, and I can't remember the style.
Was it Mr. Beer? Was it a Mr. Beer?
No, it wasn't a Mr. Beer. It was actually, you know, an extract brew, but it was still an actual brew. And it turned out awesome. So we were like, all right, well, let's do this. And so we brewed every single week for every year. People would come over and, you know, drink our old beers, you know, while we brew new beers and all that. It started in my apartment in Glen Burnie. And we did that for a couple of years, and then we built a machine. Some people, you know, homebrewing would know the name Brutus 10. It's a pre-made thing. Well, not pre-made, but it's a design that you can find. And it's like the blueprint of a machine, of a brewing machine. So we built that, we tweaked it, made, we think, a little better. And then started brewing beers like that. And I used to, in this place now, here in Canton, used to hold these Oktoberfests every year for 3 years until it got too much. I mean... The third year, it was out of hand. I mean, this place isn't that big, and we had, at one point, I think 110 people in here. We had it catered with German food. We had Oompa music playing. We had 12 different homebrews. We had 7 imported German kegs. We had a whole, I can't remember how many German bottles. But at some point in the night, one of our buddies, Tom Rancheski, he was like, you guys are Full Tilt. You know, we went all out, and it just kind of stuck from there. And, you know, I'm glad we stuck with it because, honestly, we love the name. But, you know, up until recently, Full Tilt Poker kind of demanded that name Full Tilt. As soon as you heard that, you thought poker. So when we, 3 years ago-ish, when we were starting to think about what we were going to be, who we were, we thought, you know what, Full Tilt Poker was still, at that point, relatively recent. And people, you know, asked us when we said we were Full Tilt, do you guys play poker? I'm like, God, that's not the time we're trying to be here.
So you had to start playing poker,
right? Right. Well, I mean, I dabbled, but yeah, nothing. But no, we didn't want to be that.
What goes with poker? Beer.
Right. Well, yeah.
So
that,
it's close.
Yeah. But we still wanted to be our own thing. We didn't want to live in somebody else's shadow. But luckily, as the years have gone, like that, less and less people recognize it. But we did entertain, because we always wanted to be Baltimore, so we tried to entertain some other names that might be better than Full Tilt. We talked about a mob town. We talked about, like, Charm City. And just nothing was feeling us. It didn't feel natural. So we just said, you know what, screw it. Let's be Full Tilt, and let's make it work. And it stuck, and I'm glad we did. It seems like everybody recognizes us from that name now, and it kind of sticks out a little bit, so I'm glad.
The good thing with it is that Full Tilt is more of like a national type thing that could be recognized in that sense.
Sure.
And then with the actual beers you're doing and how you're naming those is more of the local flavor.
Right, right.
And specifically pointing to streets and locations in the Baltimore area and saying, hey, you know, here's this place, we're going to do an ode to it, and here's this beer style.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I'm assuming you guys, because you're still around, you guys have been experiencing a pretty good reaction to that kind of hometown pride.
Yeah, we love this city. You know, it has its ups and downs, as any place does. But this one's been through a lot. But it's still, and it's at its you know, heart. Yeah, you know, we love it. We always will. Really, all of our first like 8-9 beers were all very Baltimore centric. Mm-hmm. We wanted to start branching out a little bit with you know, with the Bay IPA, just a little bit. We're still staying local with it though, and even our with the least Baltimore named in memory of Pilsner, it's still, we're working with a local charity for that. The charity is the Military Family Relief Fund of Maryland, and they give back to families of fallen soldiers and sailors. So that, you know, even though it's not a titled Baltimore beer, that's a charity, but also if you look at the label, it has Old Memorial Stadium in the background too. So there's still that local shout out where, yeah, sure, if we get this beer out of the, you know, out of state in memory of, doesn't, you know, pigeonhole us, but
yeah,
people will just see a random building in the background. So there's that. But we, you know, the most recent one, actually, I want to talk about it a little bit. I don't know, you know, we'll get to that. We'll get the Hopsicat when we pour it. Have you tried this one yet?
The name sounds interesting, but yeah, we do have a beer in front of us. I have not tried it yet. Right. What is this one?
This one is the Memory of Pilsner.
Pilsner.
This is the Memory of German style Pilsner, made with Spalt and Zephyr, 100% German malt. Pilsner malt.
It's got really nice honey notes to it.
Mm.
Very typical Pilsner. Nice crisp snap to it as well. You know, it's funny because, catch me a year ago and I'd just be like, I'm not into Pilsner,
right,
man.
Yeah,
but catch me now and I've had so many hoppy beers, which I still love,
sure,
but I've kind of gotten to a point where I'm just like, I've experienced so much hoppage. Every now and then it's just nice to have something.
Take a step back. And there's not a whole lot of Pilsners. There are a lot of good ones out there, but not when you could compare it to the pale ales and the IPAs, there's not that many Pilsners. So we're like, you know, let's do this. Let's make a nice, clean, crisp beer. True to style, 100% Pilsner malt, you know, German hops, and let's make a good beer. And I think, you know, we had some fun with this.
It's good. I like the honey notes are good. Sometimes with honey notes in lagers, it's a little too sweetening, and this is kind of more of like a hint of a honey. And I get a little bit of like a lemon peel type aspect in there that is pretty refreshing as well.
You're also going to get just a little more bitterness than you might. We actually, not that this was too, but we used a little more hops than we should have, but we also dry hops a little bit. Not that that's bitterness, but there's a little extra, like a little tiny hop kick if you look at it a little closely.
Could I ask what hop you used for the dry hopping?
Yep, it was a Zephyr and a Spalt.
Okay. Oh, I think you said that.
Yeah, but we used it from the flavor and the dry, you know, all that stuff. Nice. Yep.
That's refreshing.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
I like it. That's an easy sipper. I could probably have that on hand every now and then.
I appreciate that.
That's we're going to pick this up right now.
Oh, man. Well, it's hard to say right now. It's not typically the season for it, you know, so.
Hey, it's always the season for any type of beer, in my opinion.
I hear you on that.
So as far as going back to the whole Baltimore pride thing, have you ever had any people who come up to you and are just like, I love this beer because it's so Baltimore?
Yeah, I don't know if they say I love this beer specifically, because I mean the beer tastes what it's going to taste like, but we have had people that specifically seek us out because we do pride ourselves so heavily Baltimore, and we'll continue to do that. I mean, hopefully, ideally, separate into our own spot, we want to stay in the city, even though, you know, financially it makes more sense to go in the county, but it wouldn't be who we are, you know. Right. So we're going to stay in the city. That's always who we're going to be, and we're proud of that, and we're going to have fun with it.
Well, and that brings me to, you know, you guys have been doing contract brewing, mm-hmm. but yep. you're looking for an actual space.
Yep.
Have there been any kind of challenges to contract brewing that you think will be gone once you end up with your own spot?
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, we could talk a whole day about this, but I'll try to keep it short and bullet pointed, I guess. But, you know, when we first looked into getting into the contract, we thought it would be a great way to, you know, kind of get a jump start on the brewing and kind of build a brand about it, and then you know, a recognition about our brand, and then jump into our own brewery. And we saw some limitations going in, but we were like, you know what, let's just deal with this for now, and we'll fix it when we get our place. And a couple of those things are, we knew that we would want to do a lot of test batches and fun small limited releases, and we need small tanks for that. Well, you know, where we brew now, it's they have big tanks. I mean, we can only brew what we think and we can market to sell a lot of, and that's hard for us, because when we were home brewers, we just brewed whatever the hell we wanted to, and just because, why not? We just had a random idea. Let's throw a bunch of crap together and see how it turns out. And
you don't have to coordinate with anyone,
right?
Let's
just do it. That's the thing. That's another thing. I mean, that's really what it all comes down to. Is we don't want to ask permission. We just want to do what we want to do. We want to be who we are, and that's how we got our start. Another big thing for us is, you know, the canning versus bottling. 3 years ago, we told them, you know, we think cans are the way to go. It's just more fun. It's better for the beer. It's cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, it's lighter. You can take them. One of the biggest things is, like, the Pilsner and the Bay IPA. They're lighter beers, and they're good to have on the beach and, like, at a softball game, or, you know, with BSSC out of Baltimore. And you can't take bottles there, you know, it's cumbersome. So yeah. Now we're finally getting a bottling line in, but, you know, better late than never. But, you know, we wish we could have had that 3 years ago. Anyway, I'm starting to ramble now. It's just mainly comes down to what you said, that we can kind of finally do, or we will be able to finally do what we want.
Because it sounds like the way you were doing your contract brewing is you would come up with what you wanted and kind of hand the recipe off.
Right.
So you're not really allowed to touch your own product at that point.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they let us come in and kind of do things. They help out a little bit around, but yeah, we hand them a recipe and it's up to them. You know, we kind of have hands off at that point. It's not,
yeah.
You know, there's a whole part of the process that we are no longer a part of. You know, we take it back when it's packaged and we do distribution and marketing and all that, but sure, when it's actually brewed, you know, we're hands off, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I could see that being really tough, because think about someone being an artist. And in my opinion, I think brewers are kind of artists in a mm-hmm. sense. Just like I feel like when I'm doing podcasting, it's kind of like a form of art in a sense, because, you know, I'm putting things together. But from the standpoint of looking at an artist and having a situation where it's, you know, they're contract painting or something, mm-hmm. and they can stand on the other side of the room, and all they can do is tell the person with the brush and the canvas what to paint and what they envision, but they're not able to execute it as it is in their mind.
Right.
I kind of view that as being the same thing. So I could see that being frustrating, but then also being exciting from the standpoint of once you get that individual space of yours,
right,
you just unlimited freedom, and it can come directly out of your brain, out of your hands, and into the glass.
Well, basically, there's two things with that. The first is, we can't say that we're unhappy with what's happened. We hand our recipes to these guys, and Ernie Egott, he's been brewing for forever, and he came from Heavy Seas before this, and he does what we want, and, you know, sometimes it turns out even better than what we imagine.
Okay. Well, that's good.
So, that's good. So we know that even though it's hands-off once we give it to him, we know we're in good hands there. But the limitation mainly comes in when
being
we can't do all the styles
yeah.
that we want. We don't have the small tanks to brew whatevers. And but not even just that. Like, you know, sours. You know, sours are a big thing right now. And And as of this moment, we're not allowed to do sours. And, you know, I get the reasoning. You know, we don't want to infect our beers or any other people's beers. There's a lot of people that brew up Peabody, and I get that. But, you know, it's frustrating when the final answer isn't up to us. You know, yeah. We can't make the final decision. And that's tough. For the most part, they're very accommodating, and we've done some crazy stuff. We brew a 9% beer on their system that was made to only brew lagers. You know, it's unbelievable what we've done on that. We just did our first unfiltered IPA, and it's the first 100% unfiltered beer they've done. Wow. And they were not excited about doing that at first, but they said, you know what, you want to do it? Let's do it. So we are in good hands to a point.
It sounds like you're actually kind of helping to push them a little bit further into what their capabilities are. So sure, in a sense, kind of having you as a client is kind of helping them open up to being able to do other things for other clients, potentially.
Sure. I mean, if you want to look at it like that, I hope we bring more to the table than we take away. So hopefully it works out for them as much as us. Because, I mean, it is going to have to be, you know, has to be a good relationship for now. I mean, that's where we're brewing. That's where we're brewing for, you know, the foreseeable future. So we're pretty happy with the hands we're in.
Good, for sure. But at the same time, excited for when you can get your own spot.
Excited for our own spot, definitely. Well, because we can finally have our own home. You know, it's tough when we go to a beer event or a pint night and somebody will have our beer. And I was like, you know, this is great. This is the first time I've heard of Full Tilt. Where can I take a tour? Where can I have come to your brewery? And I'm sorry, you know, you can't. You know, we don't have a home.
Yeah.
So we definitely, that's our biggest struggle right now, honestly, is maintaining relevancy without having a place for people to come and connect. You know, there's only so often that Dan and I can go out and meet people and drink and, you know, and buy shots or, you know, buy beers. And you know, it that hurts our brand. And we realize that. So what we're trying to do in the background really is we ultimate goal is to have our own home, you know, have a place for people to come to, connect, you know, choose the beer styles that they want, tell us what beers they like, and see what we do in person. And that, you know, that's what we're shooting for, and that's exciting because that's where we're going.
Well, because the big thing is, if somebody's having your beer out at whatever bar, mm-hmm. the bar has created that ambiance. The bar has created that experience for that individual. They may be enjoying your beer and thinking about your beer, but if you have your own place, you do have that ability to tailor whatever people's experience will be and have it directly tied into the Full Tilt brand. Because at the moment, people could be thinking about your beer and associating it with whatever bar they were at.
Sure.
Good, bad, whatever.
Sure, sure.
So I can definitely see where that would really help things out in the future when you have your own spot. Plus, who doesn't want to have a place to be able to hang out and put their feet up? I mean, not like you would really put your feet up. You'd be brewing, but kind of put your feet up from time to time and just kind of enjoy your product. And
I mean, that's what the whole goal is. We didn't start Full Tilt because, you know, we wanted to have it as a side thing or just make money off of it. Well, we still don't make money off of it. But the whole goal was to get to a point to where, you know, we still work our full-time jobs. And the whole goal was to end up making this our livelihood, you know, and that's you know, it is very exciting to have our own spot and all that, but to be able to finally focus on one thing and make Full Tilt our all, you know, that's what's really exciting is to make all these past 3 years and however many more years it is, you know, to make it all worth it, you know, when we can finally realize our dream, you know, we set out to be, you know, the Baltimore brewery, and you know, we got our work cut out for us, but you know, in the end, I think it's going to be worth it.
Well, the issue is you have a ridiculous amount of breweries popping up.
And, right.
You know, full disclosure, we were talking for a while prior to actually doing the podcast, and one of the things, you know, we talked about is you started 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The landscape was very different back then. Yep. Very different. Yep. Now we're having at least a few breweries just in Maryland pop up each year. Yep. I don't even know what the figure is. It's some sort of figure like there are breweries that are almost popping up daily in the United States at this point. Because
some 4,000 something at this point. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the thing. So, you know, people run the risk of getting lost in the shuffle, so you have to jump, you have to get to where you need to go, and you have to do it kind of fast. So I will say, in your instance, the thing that I find to be the biggest example of where you can really make an impact is with your local ties, like we were talking about, and the fact that it's Full Tilt Brewing focused on Baltimore. You know, if you can run all these Natty Bo lovers out of drinking Natty Bo,
we're trying.
Then, well, I mean, I feel like this in memory of is a good way to start.
I appreciate that, and I think that it is a very easy drinking beer. The problem is, and we will never be able to beat Natty Bo with this, is
prices.
We just can't make it that cheap.
Yes.
You know, that this is a decent beer because we use very good ingredients. You know, hops from Germany and 100% Pilsner malt. That's not cheap to do, and it's a better product. But that's the other thing that goes back to the Full Tilt name is, you know, we're never gonna just cheapen a beer for the sake of selling it. You know, we're gonna come out with our 9% pumpkin because we think that's the best way we can make a pumpkin. Our newest beer is our Hopsicat IPA. It's ridiculously expensive but it's extremely good beer, and you know, we designed it to taste a certain way, and if that makes it expensive, you know, that's just how it's gonna be. But we hope that people can see that and appreciate the style for what it is, and we're just, bottom line, we're not going to cheapen our beer. We're not saying that we're going to overcharge for it. I'm saying that we're not going to use cheap ingredients. And that's how we've started, and that's how we're just going to keep trucking, you know?
So it's definitely, like a lot of craft brewers, it's something you take pride in. You're going to make a beer that you want to make, and I would assume that if you're going to, you know, cut back and use lesser ingredients, that would make you feel horrible.
Right.
You probably wouldn't be able to live with whatever product you're putting out, knowing that that's what you were doing. Even though, you know, the macro companies do it every day.
Right.
Beechwood and whatever.
But also too, like, I think that nowadays, you know, Baltimore is unique in the East Coast, I guess, in general is unique in that it's new to the customer base is new to craft beer. To the point where they're all getting really interested. And I think that if you were going to end up cheapening your beer, people would start to notice. Back when we first started 3 years ago, if we cheapened our beer,
people would notice.
They were finding out craft beer. At this point, people are getting real particular about their beer, and it's awesome. It's awesome to see. It makes us have to be better at what we do. But it's awesome to see that people are really starting to come out of that light beer shell and start to appreciate a good product. You know, the West Coast has been doing it forever, and it's awesome that the East Coast is finally joining the party. You know, it's fun. It's real stuff.
Well, I mean, one of the things that I would encourage, and I encourage this all the time for listeners out there, for everyone, is just keep trying beers.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And even if you're into, you know, I want to go out to Baltimore, you know, not like everyone lives in this area, but whatever city you're in, I want to go out to Baltimore, I just want to have a bunch of Natty Bows. There are other better tasting beers that you can find that you can substitute for that, and you're supporting people who are local.
Right.
I'm sorry, people, Natty Bow isn't even made in Baltimore. It hasn't been made in Baltimore for quite a long time. It's made in what, like Georgia and Wisconsin now? I mean, it's not even local. It's not even close to local. So I know there are a lot of people who drink that kind of beer and they're like, yeah, Baltimore Pride. Yeah. It's totally the opposite. Much like the people who drink Budweiser and they're like, yeah, man, America, Budweiser. Right. No, it's owned by a Belgian
company. Well, you know, so that commercial, one of the commercials they aired was they're again trying to like crap on microbreweries in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They said one of the things was never imported. Well, actually, you're not owned by an American company, and the 4,000 U.S. craft breweries, they're also not imported. They're actually made here, and they're owned by, you know, American people. So,
Well, and one of the things that I thought of when I saw that exact commercial, I tweeted something out. I don't know how many people saw it, but basically saying that if you notice their commercials that are geared towards crapping on craft beer, they never, ever say anything about taste. It's never anything about taste. It's about, this is what we do with our beer, or this is our history, our beer's so crushable.
Right.
You know, our beer tastes good. They can't just straight up say it. They've never said it.
Right.
Our beer tastes good.
Right.
I want to see an ad where Budweiser said, our beer tastes good, and that's why we're better than craft breweries. They won't, because it's not true.
It's definitely not true.
It's not true.
Yeah. There's a reason you have to serve it at negative, you know, 20 degrees to be able to stomach it.
Yeah, because you can't taste anything.
Right.
You can't taste
that
disgusting acid flavor, and that's the only way you can get it in your stomach.
Right.
I mean, really, it's for people who just want to get hammered.
Yeah, I mean, there's a place for that, too. Yeah.
Yeah, but not for people who listen to this podcast. Not if I, well, I mean, you can do that if you want every now and then. But please, give the craft beers a try.
I'm not gonna lie. I've imbibed in a light beer or two when I, you know, it's gonna be an all day sports day drinking thing. You know, it's, you can't drink a 7% IPA all day. So
I know people like that. Yeah. I mean, but then again, you know, there are some sours out there by like Wicked Weed, 4%, 3%, something like that. There's perfect those sours.
And hey, I'm with you. And if I can find that where I'm at, if the people are carrying those 3 or 4s, that's what I'm drinking for a 90 Bo or a Bud Light any day. Sure.
Oh yeah. Well, let me throw out something. We'll get back to some more of the Strictly Full Tilt stuff, but let me throw out something kind of fun for you.
Sure, sure.
Do you know the whole thing, like, marry, date, kill? That
sure,
whole thing?
Yeah.
Or marry, have sex with, kill? Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do, let's do that exercise, but marry, have sex with, kill, hops.
Huh.
Which hop do you marry, which hop do you have a one-night stand with, and which hop do you just kill off?
Wow, that's you know, that's interesting. That's not what I thought you were gonna say. okay, so Mary, I guess I'm gonna have to go with Citra. It's a nice hop. It treats you nice. It's
hot hop.
I feel like it's loyal. It's been around for a little while now, and a little while in terms of craft brewing when everything changes every freaking week. Citra's been hanging out for a little while, so I guess I'm gonna have to go marry Citra. I think I'd live a happy life. Fuck. And I only say this only because, I'm sorry, have sex with.
Either way.
Only because it's recent to me, and it's, again, it's in our newest beer, the Nelson Sauvin. And that's a glorious hop. And Dan, my partner Dan, who I own a business with, he would remember this. We had a research and development night, quote unquote, with IPAs before we were designing this beer. We tried, you know,
that sounds like heaven.
Oh, it's amazing. It's the best part of what we do. We just drink a bunch of IPAs. Yes. And when we want to design a winter beer, you know, we'll drink a bunch of winter beers and we just get drunk drinking all these other beers. But we're taking notes and we're trying to, like, be coherent while we're doing it. But the beer that stood out to most to me was called Nelson. And
Alpine beer?
Yep, that's it. Yes. Alpine. Yep. So, and I was like, this is it. This is what I want our beer to kind of resemble. And so that's why we use Nelson Sauvin big time in our newest beer. Kill? Oh, man.
It's got to be a hop that you just can't stand. You don't want to see people using it anymore. Not just you, but others.
Yeah, at one point it was Citra, honestly, in a weird way. Yeah. You know, you have tumultuous relationships like that where... But it was when it first kind of came out and people were just way overusing it that I hated it at that point. But I'm glad that people calmed down with it and that I think people are being more responsible with it and using it like it should have been. And now it's amazing. And that's why I marry it now. But man, kill.
There might not be any, though.
No, I think if I had to say any that we've used or that we've come across, I guess a Galena. It's just a false flat on me. I don't know. We use it, and it was just never really that inspiring. I don't know. That's the best I can come up with.
You don't
want
to do anything on its own. You don't want to
There will never be a Galena beer. No.
Well, never say never.
Yeah.
At some point, it might happen.
I'm probably going to eat. I'm eating my words on that one for sure.
So that gets me to another topic. What are some of your favorite hops to work with? I mean, obviously Citra, you just said.
There's been a lot, I feel like, that we haven't, so this is an unfair answer, because there's so many out there right now. The hop industry is incredible with the breeding they do and the cross strains and all that. But the Falconer's Flight, those are awesome. We haven't used Seven Seas yet, and I want to get to that point, because we've tried some beers with used Seven Seas, and that's amazing.
Well, I know the Falconer's Flight is like a super piney hop, and the best experience I ever had with that. Actually,
hop,
I think the only straight up Falconer's Flight beer I think I've ever had was On the Wings of Armageddon.
Okay,
by DC Brown. And that was transformative for me, because I hated pine in hoppy beers, especially.
Right.
And once I had that, I was just like, wow, this is really good.
Well,
it's very
that's what you get when you have so many people just focused on developing these new strands and finding better ways to blend them, and so you don't get, you know, the pine just punch. It's a more it's a smoother way to do it, and it's a more approachable way, and that's awesome. It's just hard to keep up with all the hops out there, which is also a good thing, which is, you know, we want to do more with that, and that'll come with when we have a smaller brewing system, so we can toy with and just kind of throw some beers in there, or hops in there, and see how beers turn out.
Just get like a little bit of a bunch of different types of hops and mess around with it, see what's good.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And on that same topic, that leads me to another thing: odd ingredients. Have you ever made, you know, as like a test batch for Full Tilt, or when you were just home brewing, a beer with just an odd ingredient, or has Dogfish Head done it all?
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, I guess really at this point, anybody's done everything. Yeah, yeah. It's really hard to do something completely different, but I guess back when we were like just homebrewing our raspberry wheat, that was one of our quote-unquote crowd pleasers, you know, when we were just homebrewing, mostly because that's what, you know, just all the girls would drink when we were homebrewing, just the raspberry wheat. We used a lambic, you know, yeast in it. And, it, you know, homebrewing a lambic is not anywhere near what a lambic is supposed to be, but White Labs does make a lambic strain yeast. Huh. So you pitch that, and it's quote-unquote a lambic, and that was interesting. It came out smelling like gym socks, but it tasted like a dream. You know, but so that was interesting. That was the only time we ever used lambic. But I really think that, like, the burger cookie was some of the most off-the-wall ingredients we've used, and there's just so many of them. Just, you know, taking this legendary cookie and breaking it down to its base elements and then trying to brew that, was weird.
Did you use actual cookies?
Yeah, so not the finished fudge. What we used was a lot of the wafer. Okay. We put a lot of wafer in the beer. And the raw fudge, the same raw fudge they use, of these big 50-pound blocks right in the beer, we didn't use a finished fudge because there's a lot of oils and a lot of other things that would ruin the beer, the head retention and all that. So we had to find a way to make it resemble that with, you know, the burger, the cookie, without all the cookie stuff. So we ended up using, you know, the wafers, the 50-pound blocks of fudge, lactose. We ended up using cocoa nibs in a fermenter to try to bring out the
cocoa
aroma.
Cocoa nibs.
Yeah, and, you know, that was tough, too, because cocoa nibs are hard to come by these days. They're expensive because of the trade. They're hard to come by. And there was the crop got wiped out for a little while there. And,
oh, wow.
But then also vanilla at the end, too, to kind of sweeten it up a little bit. And it's tough to find a balance of all those extra ingredients on top of the standard hops and, you know, malt and all that stuff. And I'll be honest, it's also one of our most divisive beers that we've had, because people see that name on their burger and they expect this ridiculously sweet, you know, over
fudgy.
Top, fudgy, stout. And that's not what we wanted. If we always say, and it's kind of almost seeming cliche to more say it now, but if you want the burger cookie, go eat a burger cookie. Yeah. You know, what we wanted was a chocolate stout that had characteristics of the cookie without being obnoxious. We still wanted it to be a beer, you know, and a beer that you could drink. And I feel like if it was as sweet as a burger cookie, it wouldn't be drinkable. You might have that initial, holy crap, it tastes like a cookie, but then you get halfway through the pint and you're like, I don't want this beer anymore.
You know, I don't know, because I also think about, like, I don't know if you had it, the Oscar Blues, their Death by Coconut, and that tastes exactly like a melted down Almond Joy.
Mm.
Or I'm sorry, Mounds,
mm-hmm.
because the Almond Joy has almonds in
it, right.
But yeah, like a Mounds, I mean, it's coconut and it's chocolate and it's decadent and it's thick.
Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe an imperial version.
Yeah. So
of the burger cookie, you know, that's tasting just like it.
That's funny you say that, because we do want to do that kind of thing, and we did it one time a couple years ago with a year and a half ago with our Fully Tilted pale ale, where, you know, we took our pale ale and we just used more hops, more malt, and we aged it on oak chips. You know, we did something different with it. And we want to eventually get to a point where we can full tilt every single beer. Every single year, we want to come out with a different fully tilted raspberry. Maybe we'll make a 9% raspberry with vanilla and oak barrels or something like that. And, you know, an Imperial Pilsner, I don't get that style, but why not if it's fully tilted or limited release? So we want to do that. And, you know, the burger cookie, we can do it with, you know, extra vanilla, make it a little more sweet, like people are looking for, or, you know, a little more chocolate to kind of give it more of a punch. And, you know, we want to get to that point. Just right now, again, back to the contract brewing situation where we can't do all the things we want to do.
Yeah.
It's tough. But, you know, once we get our little brew pub spot,
we're going to do all that stuff. We're going to fully tilt some things and just go nuts with it, because why not? That's what's fun about craft beer.
Yeah, doing all sorts of crazy experiments.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. So have you ever been approached about collaborations?
Yeah. Not many, but the most recent one is Push out of Frisco Tap House in Columbia.
Okay.
If you haven't been there yet, check them out. First, number one, it's a great craft beer spot and great food and great atmosphere and all that, but Push is their own little, I believe it's a 7-barrel system. I could be wrong, maybe 10, but I'm 95% sure 7-barrel system, but they brew some good beers over there too, and we've talked to them. Dan has actually been heading this up, and I'm not sure we're quite where we left it off, but we're working on something in the background where we can collaborate with them.
Nice.
Yeah, so that should be a lot of fun.
So, dream collaboration. Who do you want to come to you or call you and say,
jeez,
you know what, I want to collaborate, and you can do it like whenever you want, any style you want. So who would you want to collaborate with, and then what style of beer with that person?
You know, I
or always, brewery in, as a whole.
I feel like it would be too easy to say Stone, just because, I mean, you know what, I take it back. Firestone Walker, that's my favorite IPA still to this day. Union Jack, fantastic. Mm-hmm. And Double Jack is great too.
And Easy Jack, their session Easy IPA Jack is really good.
Yeah, all those beers. And, what is it? Sakaba.
No.
I think it great might be still to this day, and, you know, who knows with the way palates are and taste buds and all that and what you're eating. But to this day, I'm pretty sure, I don't know if it was 2012 or 2013, the best beer I've ever had in my life. And I'll never forget that. Every time you tasted it, and it came with this page, and it was a breakdown of, I think it was 13 different barrels they aged it in, and had, you know, wine mixers come in and mix it, and it told you the percentage of each barrel that the beer was mixed from. And I just reading it, I was blown away, but I was like, you know, is that really necessary? Is it, or is it just all, you know, hype? But when you taste it, every single sip you got was a different taste.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that. I was a little upset that I had split it with 5 or 6 other people because I wanted more taste of it. You know, I only had one bomber of it.
And that was kind of like my experience when I got one 12-ounce bottle of KBS by Founders,
uh-huh,
and I split it with 3 other people.
Yeah.
And I want that back. Yeah. Like, I want to take that moment back in my life and just enjoy it for myself, but I can't.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I mean, what you're saying about those the lists and how much is put into the Firestone Walker beers. I mean, prime example, Rebecca and I did one on one of the episodes, the 18th anniversary Firestone Walker. Their blend of like 9 different beers of theirs, and the percentages of each one and how diverse those different styles were, but how beautiful that beer turned out. I mean, it's unreal.
Yeah.
As far as blending goes, I feel like they're it.
Yeah,
like they're the ones that do it so damn well.
Right.
So you'd want to collaborate with them. What would you want to do? What type of beer?
Well, you know, I don't know. I know I'd like them to take the lead on this because we haven't done a barley wine yet, and I don't see it in our near future because our system can't handle it. But I do love a really nice barley wine, and I feel like they could handle that, and they would know, you know, a good way to lead us. But that's like a unicorn almost to us right now. It's just, like I said, the system that we brew on at Peabody, it's made for low alcohol lagers.
Mm-hmm.
It can't, it doesn't have the capacity to hold enough grain to make a barley wine, and it's tough. So, well, you know, one day we'd like to get to that point. But if, you know, if we were collaborating with somebody who had the capacity, I would want to do a barley wine, I think.
Well, so maybe when you guys get your own spot,
mm-hmm,
barley wine should be your big like celebration beer that you make.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, why not
do a barley wine? And but here's the big question: American style or English style barley wine? So
American,
are we going
style
hoppy, or are we going
American style? All
right.
Yeah, that's just man, what's the again, all right, so we were talking about, again, we talked earlier tonight,
mm-hmm,
Lawyers, Guns, and Money, Crazy Mountain Brewing. The first time I had that beer, and I will say that I had been drinking a little bit already, to trying to give myself, you know, excuse, I guess. When I had that beer, I had thought it was an IPA the first time I had it.
Oh, wow.
It was that hoppy. But then again, so when I went out to Denver afterwards and I had it and saw that it was listed as a barley wine, I was a little embarrassed. And it did taste a little different than I remember, but it was still freaking amazing. It was this Lures and Guns of Money, Crazy Mountain. Whoever's listening, check that out if you can get it. Fantastic beer. One of the best I've had in the past few years.
Wow.
So, yeah, that kind of I haven't had really a whole lot of barley wines lately, but that kind of that reminded me back like what the style can be, and it was yeah. fantastic.
So you guys are doing something soon. You have a new beer coming.
Yeah,
up.
Yeah. This one we're real excited. Actually, if it's not too distracting, I'm gonna get a couple of beers out of the fridge right here.
You can go ahead. As I sip on this in memory of, which I have an idea for a fully tilted version of this in memory of. You do it as you do a very hopped Galaxy version of it.
Okay.
Galaxy hops, and then you have it in memory of fallen astronauts. How about it? Yeah, does that sound good?
Hey, it sounds great. That's it doesn't get much more fully tilted than that, I think. Mm-hmm. That's taking it to the extreme.
Or you're taking it off planet Earth, you're putting it in space.
Yeah.
Or that's just kitsch. I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, this is Hops the Cat IPA. And like I alluded to a couple times, it's our first unfiltered, 100% unfiltered. Wow. We've done partially filtered before. But this 100% unfiltered, and you know, we were worried. We didn't know if we were gonna have to use finings. We didn't want floaters. We didn't want chunks in this. We didn't want, you know, it might be kind of cool to some people, but other people will be very turned off.
That's what I was gonna say. Like, I'm fine with chunks in my IPAs. Right, because I would be. It's hops.
Yeah, exactly.
But there literally are people who will purchase beers. I know some who will take it back and say there's something wrong. There's stuff floating in this.
Exactly.
Or it's just like unsettling to people to have like.
Right.
A suspension instead of just like purely dissolved liquid.
So this is you can see it's still relatively clear for you know, we didn't use any finings. We just did a couple transfers where we would suck off the yeast at the off the bottom and you know hops, and we lost some beer doing that, but it turned out relatively clear.
I mean, it's got a haziness to it.
It does, and like, but you can tell. What we wanted to, I think it adds to the whole look of it. Yeah, so you're smelling it now, and you get that right off the top.
It smells really, that's really nice, but here's the thing. In the best way possible, it kind of smells like Fruit Stripe gum. You know how it's like
I can see that.
Good
and
citrusy?
Yeah, yeah.
And what hops are in this, I believe?
So our standard bitter hop is Columbus, but so that's where, where you get the bitter from. But the main heart, the body and soul of this beer is Mosaic Citra and Nelson Sauvin. Equal parts of those three.
I took a sip. This is a legit beer, man.
I appreciate
this is
that.
Legit. I've had a few. Actually, I've had a decent amount of your beers, and this is going to be my favorite.
This is my favorite.
This is going to be. Oh.
And I'm not just saying that because I'm a band and I'm coming out with a new album and this is the craziest thing we've ever done. You know what I mean? Every time you hear a band, we're like, oh, we've tried something new. We're so exciting. And you listen to it, it's like, oh, it's the same thing we've ever done. This is our best beer.
Yeah. And knowing the hops that go in there, I can taste them all.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're blended the way that you would want them to be if you're letting people know that these are the hops you're using, which I think you should do because those are pretty popular hops as far as it goes for craft beer nerds. That's good. The aroma is so robust. Like I said, Fruit Stripe gum, but more bitterness to it. And the flavor is very similar to the aroma, but it's just like, it's like beautiful hoppiness.
I appreciate that. We think it's very approachable too. So what we're going to get here, I'm hoping, is we're going to get the hop head, the seasoned hop head to appreciate it, but I think this is also going to be approachable by the regular drinker, the Natty Bo drinker. I think this is tasteful enough or tasty enough that you're going to be able to find goodness no matter who you are.
It's got a lot of citrusy aspect to it, so that is what's appealing to a lot of people. It's got more.
It's got
body.
Tropical too, though.
What's the ABV on this?
7.4.
7.4. Okay. I was thinking that with the mouthfeel to it, it's more substantial. That I would think that it doesn't taste like the alcohol is like 8 or 9, but the body is like it's something kind of like that.
Gotcha.
It's like almost a little bit chewy, which is probably just because of the, you know, unfiltered aspect of being very hoppy.
And we used way too many hops in this.
But that's such thing.
Yeah. But that's the whole thing is, you know, we're not going to, we thought that this combination, this weight of hops would bring it out, and we're not going to change it. We're not going to dumb it down or bring it back. This is what it's going to be.
So, what made you want to make this beer?
Well,
in particular,
there's a couple different aspects of that, I guess. The style itself was because we didn't have an IPA yet. We had a session IPA, the Bay IPA, and we had a double IPA, as in Hop Harbor,
we didn't have our IPA. Our straight, you know, IPA. You need that now, you know, for better or worse. And some people are, you know, hating on, oh, everybody does hoppy beers and all that. Well, we need an IPA. But then, so the marketing of it, Hops the Cat, that Hops the Cat was my cat for about 5-6 years. And he was, you know, people are very split on cats or dogs or whatever. But
I'm all in the cat category.
Yeah, well, I used to be on the dog category. But, you know, I came and I, you know, had to work a lot and all that. And I wanted an animal. And cats take care of themselves. So I got Hops. And, you know, I was kind of drawn to him. And I think him likewise to me. And it was kind of one thing led to another, and he was a cool freaking cat, and everybody who met him loved him. You know, he would answer his name, we would have these parties, Oktoberfest, and he would be walking through 100 people and not caring. Wow. He was just awesome.
Won't find my cat doing that.
Yeah, he just had this personality that you'll never find in a cat. And so a couple years ago, he got out, you know, he got sick. And he ended up coming home a couple weeks later. It was in March, and it was a very cold year, and I can't even believe he made it home. But when he did, he was sick, and a couple weeks later, he had to be put down. But we wanted to remember him, but without being depressing about it. So if you've seen the marketing, but if you, mm-hmm. if you're listeners, if you look it up, go to our Facebook page.
It's literally a cat with hop laser beams flying out of its eyes on the city of Baltimore.
Yeah, and then there's two little hops to the left and right of them climbing over the city. It's ridiculous. And we just want to have, it looks like a horror movie film, like a poster.
It's like Godzilla.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we're going for. We wanted to remember them, but we don't want you to be sad when you remember them. Just have fun with it. So we did that, and we're pretty pumped about it, and we're going to have a lot of fun with it. And it's actually going to be our first canned beer, which is also pretty exciting. Right. Yeah, so Peabody's getting a canning line in March. 3 years overdue, but it's happening. You know, we're finally getting it, so we're going to make this our first canned beer, and we're pretty pumped for that. You know?
Well, it's really good.
I appreciate that.
As I continue to drink it, the bitterness is quite there, but it's not too much. It's like, it's a very nice, acceptable level of bitterness. Maybe a little bit less than you would assume from an IPA.
Yeah, it is a little bit less, and we might be adding even a couple more pounds of Columbus to just give it, not to make it just ridiculously dry and too bitter and all that, but just, I think it could be, honestly, a little more balanced, a little more bitter. Just a touch.
I you know,
because it is super approachable right now. We don't want to lose that.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say is, I say leave it.
Yeah.
Leave it where it is right now. You make it any more bitter, I think you might turn a few people off,
right?
Because I feel like the bitterness is good right there.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that.
If you go a little more bitter, and it's also spending extra money, which if you don't really have to, don't do it, honestly. Right. But
this is the thing. I mean, this is the fun part about craft beer too. Is, you know, we listen to you, and we're gonna launch this beer, you know, in a week and a half, and we're gonna listen to 100 people like with us that day, and we're going to listen over the next couple weeks, and then we're going to brew the beer again in like the third week of February. And, you know, if we want to tweak it, we'll tweak it, and we'll see how it goes. And if not, you know, this is it. And then, but that's the thing. It's a fun thing. It's a living, breathing thing. You can kind of toy with it as you go and have some fun with it. But this is, as it is, I'm happy that you like it too, because we're very really happy with it.
It's very good. And here's the thing. I knew prior to doing this show that we were going to try this beer because it's the one that's coming up, and Rebecca told me what the hops were in, and I was like, oh my god, I mean, it's got to be good. If it's executed the way that I think it could be executed, it's got to be good. And basically what I wanted out of it is how it tastes.
I appreciate that.
Really, so anyone out there who's in the Baltimore-ish area, you should check out Hops the Cat when it hits. Really good IPA. And people who aren't in the area, there's a thing called beer trading. Post on Beer Advocate or whatever, or, you know, just, you know, send me an email. I can hook you up with some people who might be able to try and trade some for you. And it's good, man.
Yeah,
it really is.
It makes me happy. I'm glad.
I had a feeling that it would be a good beer based on the hops, but I think there's a certain finesse to it.
Thank you.
And that's that extra je ne sais quoi that these types of beers really benefit from. It's nice, man.
Yeah. Cheers. I really appreciate that. Yeah.
Oh, no, I appreciate this. Yeah. This beer and you sharing it with me. Yeah. And the In Memory Of was a very nice Pilsner, too. So.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. It's always so nice when I do an interview with somebody who makes beer, and I don't have to feel bad about saying what I feel about the beer, or I appreciate that. You know,
my feelings can be hurt from time to time.
I know.
You know, it's funny.
I always get nervous because I'm like, what if I don't like the beer? Because I'm gonna be honest about it, and that's the issue. I mean, there have been breweries who have sent beers into the show. Obviously, we taste those blind, and I crapped on them.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Southern Tier. That was one of them.
Which one?
They sent me Hop Sun and Farmer's Tan, and we did not like them at all. But typically, I like Southern Tier stuff, and I felt bad because they sent me the beer, too. I felt bad, but I mean, that's how it was. I'm not going to lie.
I got drunk with the CEO of Southern Tier a few months ago at Smaltimore, where we started tonight.
Oh, wow.
He was randomly here in Baltimore, and we ended up getting drunk. Actually, the night ended up in Fells Point. We were drinking Deep Betty Vodka. As random as it is, I'm drinking
very
Deep
different. Betty.
Yeah, exactly. That was a crazy night.
Wow.
The things you get into, and it's nuts.
When you're in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Home of Full Tilt Brewing.
So.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, is there anything else that you feel like you want to say about this beer when it's coming out? You covered the cans. You covered you doing release events. We covered the fact that people should try and trade for it on Beer Advocate and stuff like that. We covered the hops that are in it that are beautiful. I mean,
thank you.
By the way, where do you get your hops through?
So I would say about half of our hops now come from Crosby Hop Farms in Oregon.
Okay, awesome.
And lately, this batch of hops came from LD Carlson.
Where's that?
It's kind of a manufacturing or a bulk brewery buying site.
Okay.
So, but the majority of hops come from Crosby Hop Farms. We have a good relationship with those guys.
Okay. Well, if you have any other hop needs or you want to experiment with some stuff, Phil Rudy from Independent Brewing had let us know about the Lupulin Exchange.
Yeah, actually, we're on that. Yeah. We have some hops on there. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, yeah. Well, you already know about it. I know when we went out to, Rebecca and I went out to Oregon, we were talking to the people at Crux, and they had not known about the Lupulin Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
They had made some sort of comment about looking for certain hops, but they couldn't buy like super large quantities.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Have you heard about Lupulin
Exchange?"
It's
a great tool.
They didn't know, so I was like, "You got to check that out."
And I still feel like a lot of people don't know, even in the industry, and it's a great tool. So hopefully, some people can start finding that.
Well, that's why everybody listening to this, if you are a brewer or you know someone who is, let them know about the Lupulin Exchange. I want everybody who brews to be able to get a hold of smaller quantities of hops because every brewer, like I've said, I feel like they're artists. They should be able to have whatever tools, whatever ingredients they feel like they need to have their vision come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man. Well, awesome. Is there anything else you want to cover? I mean, you are more than welcome to have the mic and say what you need to say. But
I know. I think that pretty much covers it for now. I think that we got some cool stuff ahead. Like, so this is going to be our first can in April.
Awesome.
But that's just a start. You know, we're kind of switching our whole entire brand to cans throughout the year. You know, we I'll be honest with you, if I'm being blunt or candid, we have a lot of bottle packaging left over. We're not just going to throw it away. So we're going to continue to bottle a little bit as we work in cans per each brand. But by the end of the year, we want to be fully canned. And the fun part about it is our marketing, we're not going to lose the name at all. Full Tilt is who we're always going to be. And that tattoo looking logo, it's freaking on my arm. So that's not going anywhere.
That.
Yeah, that's not going anywhere.
That literally is it.
Well, yeah, but so our bottles right now are very much that centered, and then there's a background of some sort. Well, we're switching to completely different, where it's art forward, this is the beer, and then up in the corner, you'll see the Full Tilt brand. So our cans are going to be much more eye-catching. Some are going to be a lot more fun. And so just keep an eye out for that. Starting April, we're going to come out with a lot of stuff. You're going to be able to take our Pilsner and our Bay IPA as they were designed on the beach or on a boat or to a softball game. You know, it's
nice.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So we're excited.
Well, I'll tell you what I want. I don't want 12-ounce cans of the Hops the Cat. I want 16-ounce cans of the Hops the Cat.
I think we're going to be able to do that.
I don't care what the price is. I'll buy it. Because for me, I've said it numerous times before, 12 ounces is usually not enough for me. 24 ounces is a little too much.
Yeah, yeah.
16,
that pint is a
perfect.
Sweet spot. Yeah, I hear you.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess I was meant to be English. You know, true pint.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. You don't know that these days. You go in a bar, you don't know if your pint glass, your quote unquote pint glass, is 12 or is it 14 or is it 16 ounces. Most likely, it's not 16 ounces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the things I need to close on is when you guys get everything up and going, I would not be mad at you if you made a Brutal Battle beer.
Hell yeah, we can definitely
whatever do that, that
yep.
would be.
Yep, yep, we can for sure do that, and you can help us design it. That'd be more fun.
Oh, yeah. You can put Brutal Battle on the name. I don't have a trademark or anything. Oops, yeah, that sounds don't good. Listen to that, people. Don't try to trademark that or anything.
Yeah, yeah, let's keep that in mind, man. So, yeah, that's our goal is the we want the brew pub, and then we can have a lot of fun with that kind of stuff, man, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, hey, Nick, it's been a lot of fun. This Hops the Cat is, I feel like I'm being stupid saying it so much, but it's really good.
Ah, thank
and,
you.
And I'm going to enjoy finishing this off. So
I appreciate that.
Thanks for being on, man, and thanks for sharing your experiences with everyone.
Carlin, thanks for having me, and thanks for whoever's listening out there. And, cheers to you guys, and hopefully we end up at the same bar sometime soon.
Full Tilt Brewing. I had a hard time saying that.
Well, that's what Hops the Cat will do to you. One too many.
I know it is. I'm actually like it's. I'm feeling it right now. Yeah. But what I was going to say is Full Tilt Brewing, Baltimore in a can.
Hey,
soon.
Brutal Battle. Cheers, man.
Yeah, you too. Oh, keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.